Talking about Dreamer tonight. I don't know about you, but Pastor Matt's message from Sunday morning, Walking in Boldness, really stirred me up because he was talking about, you know, boldness being part of the byproduct, if you will, of the being filled with the Spirit to overflowing. And part of that, yes, is bearing fruit for the kingdom, being a bold witness for Him. The other part that we was talking about towards the end was talking about dreaming big, asking big, declaring big things, expecting God to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, all that we can ask or think. That's a big message. That's an encouraging message. It's something that we should all do is dare to dream big. Dare to dream big. Now we see in the Bible, talking about dreams tonight, not necessarily just dreams and visions. I'll get into that just a little bit, but I have to preface what I'm going to get into with talking a little bit about dreams, lest you misunderstand what we're going for, because we live in a supernatural world, and we're in a charismatic church, if you will, but not all charismatics are created equal. Some would be found in the cereal aisle near the fruits, nuts, and the flakes, and we're not of those. Okay, we're not fruity, nutty, or flaky. So I want to talk to you just a little bit, preface what I'm going to say. There's only 21 dreams that are mentioned in the entire Bible. 21. Okay, so before you go off on a tangent and think that every dream that you have is God inspired, only 21 dreams in the Bible, all of the Bible. 21 dreams appear there. Here are some of the dreamers' names: Abimelech, Jacob. You guys, of course, know Jacob. His dream, his dream kind of got him in trouble. But then it led to the realization, the manifestation of that dream, kind of later on. But some dreams you keep to yourself. That'd be a lesson to you. Laban, Joseph. Joseph was the one. It was the dreamer. Okay, I mentioned Jacob, but Joseph was the dream that got him in trouble. Solomon, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, Joseph of Nazareth, the Magi, and then Pilate's wife. Okay, these were all the people who had dreams that are mentioned in the Bible. And so there are visions that are talked about in the Bible, but these are different than dreams in the fact that a vision happens when you're awake. Dreams happen when you're sleeping. Okay, this is very simple. But let me say this. Let's read this in Job chapter 33, verse 14. Oh my God, he's reading in Job. But listen to this. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. So, it's biblical that God would speak to you in dreams. Now, that's not the primary way that he speaks to us. He speaks to us primarily through the inward witness. Okay? God's Spirit speaking to our spirit. But we see it's biblical that God can speak to you in dreams. Now, I've only had one dream in my entire life where I felt that I sensed that God was speaking to me through this particular dream. Not going to go into it tonight, but only one time in my entire life. I've heard people teach that every dream that you have is a dream from God and you should seek the interpretation. That's not true. Not every dream is from God. Some dreams are natural and have nothing. Let me say this, nothing to do with communication from God. We see this in the Bible, Ecclesiastes 5:3. A dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool. Now, Solomon was one of the ones who was a dreamer. He had a dream in which God manifested himself to Solomon. But Solomon himself says, hey, sometimes you're going to dream just because you're worried. A dream comes when there are many cares. Sometimes the dreams that you have are just because you had some bad pizza. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? All right, this is the midweek boost crowd. I'm not going to beat this dead horse here. More verses here. Isaiah 29:8, as when a hungry person dreams of eating and awakens hungry still, as when a thirsty person dreams of drinking but awakens faint and thirsty still, so it will be with the hordes of all the nations that fight against Mount Zion. Again, Some dreams you have just because you're hungry. Some dreams you have just because you're thirsty. And unfortunately, some dreams, and because people have this theology that every dream is from God, it can lead people astray. Okay? Let's see this in Jeremiah 23, verse 31. It says, "Yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare the Lord declares." Hey, be careful. Be careful. Just because I say, "Thus saith the Lord," doesn't mean, "Thus saith the Lord." You gotta test that in light of Scripture. Okay? There have been people who've gotten in trouble because they received a prophecy from the man of God, and he tagged at the end of it, "Thus saith the Lord," and the Lord had nothing to do with that. So, there you go. The Lord, he says, "I'm against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, the Lord declares. Indeed, I am against those who prophesy false dreams. They tell them and lead my people astray with their reckless lies. Yet I did not send or appoint them. They do not benefit those people in the least, declares the Lord." And Zechariah 10:2, "The idols speak deceit. Diviners see visions that lie. They tell dreams that are false. They give comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wander like sheep oppressed for lack of a shepherd." So, again, buying into some false doctrine, if you will. Okay. Now, the kind of dreaming that I'm talking about, that I want to talk to you about tonight, is really has nothing to do with those things. I just preface it with that because there may be people, not you, but there may be people listening elsewhere that they would say every dream is inspired of God, and that's not the case. The kind of dream that I want to talk to you about is a dream that's defined as a strongly desired goal or purpose. All right? Not this series of thoughts, emotions, or images that occur during sleep. Some of you may, in fact, dream tonight during this message. And that's okay. Not a reverie or a daydream. That's not what I'm talking about. But a dream grounded in the passion and purpose that God has for you as an individual. I believe that God has placed dreams on the inside of each of us, in our hearts, talking about a vision deep down inside of you, the thing that you were born to do, the thing that appeals to your highest ideals, the thing that sparks life and energy and passion, the thing that makes you look like Lindsay Kennedy on the inside. Did you get that? I mean, she was exuding passion and zeal as she was speaking tonight. And it couldn't help but inspire others of us who were not only paying attention, but receiving from that. So there's a thing that God's put on the inside of you that would make you exude the same passion and zeal and energy. It's something that's inseparably linked to your purpose in life. It's a dream that unites us with the success of our journey between the lines of a time to be born and a time to die. Our response to this dream is the substance of our lives that's more than just the dash on your tombstone. It's purpose. It's destiny. It's what God has defined for you to do and be. Some of us wander in life. Wander. W-A-N-D-E-R. Wander in life. Wondering, W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, what am I here for? It's a question a lot of people ask. Mostly it's asked by unbelievers. Why am I here? God, why did you put me on this earth? And we have this deep desire and longing to be used in some way, to make a difference in some way, to make an impact beyond ourselves. But if we're just content to be satisfied with our lives and the place that we're at right now, we'll never move. We'll never grow, we'll never dream, and we'll stay where we are. That's why you see people that find themselves in a rut, doing the same things over and over and over, because they haven't been shaken enough to find their purpose and get into that. Because purpose will propel you into your future, and you'll continue to move and grow and do better and higher. Now, it's no secret for me that I'm a bit of a science fiction guy. I love sci-fi movies, and I can be kind of a nerd. And I see Matt with your Star Trek shirt. Live long and prosper, my friend. One of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time is this thriller that's written, directed, and produced by Christopher Nolan. Anybody know what I'm talking about just yet? It stars Leo DiCaprio and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Spaceballs. That's more parody than science fiction, my friend. Nonetheless, the Schwartz is strong with you. Inception. Anybody seen Inception? Oh, man. Mind-blowing, mind-bending thriller. Science fiction, of course, based because it's not reality. So how many of you, by show of hands, you've seen Inception? You've seen the movie? So, okay, good. Others of you, that's your homework. Go. I think it's on Netflix. You might not want to watch it with your kids. It's been a long time since I've seen it, so I don't know if I could publicly really endorse this movie, but I just did. So there you go. I'll repent later if it's got too many cuss words for you. Sorry about that. So the plot line is a bit difficult to follow, but the idea is this. There are extractors that infiltrate the subconscious minds of their targets that are in a dream state. Okay? So in one epic scene, Dominic Cobb, Mr. Cobb, played by Leo DiCaprio, he goes past the art of extraction, where we're stealing ideas from people while they're in a dream state, and he attempts the near impossible feat of what they call inception, implanting an idea into a target's subconscious. So Cobb says to his partner in crime, Arthur, who's played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he says, "We have to plant it deep in his subconscious." And Arthur asks, How deep? And Cobb says, we have to go three levels down. So Arthur replies with this question that really truly structures the film. A dream within a dream within a dream? Is that even possible? And so it's in this film that we see the some of you are like, you're already, you're lost, right? It's in this film that we see the extractors actually implanting dreams. And I don't know what dream God has given you, but it's a dream within a dream called creation. It's a dream within a dream called redemption. God is writing history, his story, through you. And it always starts with a dream. You may not necessarily see yourself as a dreamer, but you are one. You may even have dreams that you aren't even aware of, planted deep within your subconscious, three levels down, perhaps. If you're a parent, for example, you have a dream. You even gave your dream a name when he or she was born. It's a dream. For some of you, it's a dream that you worked hard to get to, because physically it was told to you it was impossible, right, Jeff? And you're giving your dream a name. What do we see? What do we see in Acts chapter 2? Will you guys put that scripture up there for me? Acts chapter 2. This is on the day of Pentecost. Peter gets up and he says, "It shall come to pass," and he's quoting the prophet Joel, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." So dream dreams. It really is a natural, supernatural byproduct of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as walking in boldness, it is meant for you to dream some dreams. The Holy Spirit can and does perform inception, implanting dreams within each and every one of you, deep within the human spirit, sometimes three levels down. Think about some of the dreamers that we see in history. One of the famous ones declared, "I have a dream." Who was that, everybody? Martin Luther King Jr. His dream didn't begin on August 28, 1963, when he delivered perhaps the most famous speech of the 20th century on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. His dream began long before he uttered the words, "I have a dream." It was a dream that was implanted deep within him by his creator. The Wright brothers, Their dream of human flight didn't begin on December 17th, 1903, when they defied gravity for 12 seconds at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. You see, in 1899, Wilbur Wright requested from the Smithsonian everything written about the subject of human flight. One book called L'Empire de l'Air, it's a French book, by Louis-Pierre Mouillard, he writes, was like a prophet in the wilderness, exhorting the world to repent of its unbelief in the possibility of human flight. I like that. Repent of its unbelief in the possibility of human flight. There's some things that we need to repent of, our unbelief in the possibility of these dreams that God has given us. Some things that God's inspired you to do, naysayers would tell you it's impossible, you'd never do that. I'm sure the Wright brothers had plenty of people saying, yeah, you'd never do that. I mean, they had no education, they didn't have any crowdfunding, they didn't have friends in high places. All they had was a dream. And that's all it took. Because today, at any given moment, on any given day, 5,000 airplanes fly through the air carrying millions of passengers, blazing at 300 miles per hour through the troposphere. All because the Wright brothers had a dream. That's how it started. What is the dream that the Holy Spirit has implanted deep within your spirit? What is it? Ephesians 3:20 says, God can do anything, you know. This is the Message translation. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request, listen to this, in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Now, your dream is going to require a few things from you. First of all, you're going to have to discover it. And a lot of times, your dream, you don't discover your dream discovers you. For many people, that's what happens. It's an epiphany, it's a revelation in a moment of time. That's why sometimes we have to get our minds out of the way and go to sleep in order to have some dreams. Because our mind, our conscious mind, would start to war against the dreams that God's given us. That you'll never do that, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, it's going to take too long. So, go to sleep. Discover your dream. Let your dream discover you. And then, your dream is going to require faith. You got to believe it's possible. Irwin McManus said, if you're big enough for your dream's not big enough for you. I'll say that again. If you're big enough for your dream's not big enough for you. Meaning that if you can accomplish the dream that God's given you in and of yourself, you don't really require His help, then you don't need faith to accomplish it, and it's not big enough. The dream that God's given you is going to require His help, His assistance, His supernatural power. Otherwise, He doesn't get any glory from it. If you can take any credit at all, for the dream, you accomplishing the dream that you have, it ain't big enough. It's not. I hope you're being inspired tonight. If your dream is something you can accomplish on your own, it's not big enough. You're dreaming too small and you're settling for less than the best. Now, your dream will also lead to a few four-letter words, one of which is called W-O-R-K. Work. Your dream is going to require work. You may say a few four-letter words along the way. If you got them from inception, it's not my fault. I'm sure you heard them from another place before then, before you said them. And I heard Sunday from Pastor Matt that he said it was okay to cuss. Anybody else hear that? I don't know. Anybody else get that out of that? And I always put that into practice Sunday afternoon when my 3-year-old daughter pulled something out of the fridge and knocked out a whole thing of spaghetti sauce all over the place. I look at Chris and I was like, didn't Pastor Matt say I could cuss? So I really feel like letting a few four-letter words fly. But then I had to put the other four-letter word into place, W-O-R-K, because I had to clean up her mess after yelling a few minutes. She goes, I didn't do it. Of course you didn't. Yeah, it just happens by itself. Hey, let me tell you a story about a young man named Cale Matthew Wiley, who discovered a dream, whose dream discovered him a few short years ago, probably feels like ages ago, in the Trust Challenge one night, when God implanted or unearthed a dream that had been placed in his heart probably for years and years ago that he hadn't even discovered yet, a dream of becoming a middle school math teacher. And Cale Matthew Wiley has been busting his butt, W-O-R-K-ing, going to school, getting an education, writing papers, doing these really long equations that make sense to nobody but him and his teachers. Mostly him. But that dream's becoming a reality. And it's big. I mean, it's bigger than your family. You've had to believe him along the way for finances, for time, all kinds of favor, all kinds of things. The odds are not ever in your favor. Matter of fact, the odds are stacked against you. And if the odds aren't stacked against you, then your dream's not big enough. Now, work. You got to work. You got to work your dream. I'll say this. Every dream really is created twice. First creation is mental. Now, I'm really appealing at this stage in the game to you dreamers. I'm appealing to people like Eddie, who is a true visionary, who will give you a billion ideas before he implements half of one. You're loving this, man. I can see it. You're like, yeah, this is the best. This is my life message. Is what you're saying. This, I'm really appealing to you because, yeah, I can dream all day, right? But every dream is created twice. The first creation is mental. Every invention, every business, every building, every painting is conceived in the right brain imagination first. It's nothing more than a single cell idea at this point. The second creation is physical. You make it obedient to Christ via blood, sweat, and tears. Now this appeals to the Terry Wileys, the doers, the Nate Barbers, the executors. If you want something done, tell me and I'll get it done. This appeals to us. So it's a message for both people, whether you use the right side or your left side. You can tap into both. So if your dream is to write a book, start with a keyboard. If your dream is playing a professional sport, you make it obedient by going to the gym, learning your craft. Your dream is making music, you make it obedient to Christ. One note at a time. Your dreams will never exceed your imagination. You can't achieve what you don't believe. So idea generation is important, but idea execution is where the rubber meets the road, okay? I like dreamers. I like thinkers. They make me think. They inspire thinking within me. I applaud your ability to plot. But I love doers even more. They inspire me to action. It's the plotters, P-L-O-D-D-E-R-S, not the plotters who make things happen. And we need both. God isn't going to say, well planned, good and faithful servant. He won't say, well thought, well said, or well strategized either. There's one commendation at the end. Well done. Well done. Setting goals is fun and games. Going after them is another matter, guys. Without perspiration to match your inspiration, your dream imagined will inevitably turn into a dream deferred. What do you need to start? What are you waiting on? Whatever it is, the hardest part of finishing is starting. But the thing about going after a dream, it's like riding a bike. You don't really get going until you start to gain some momentum. So let tonight be a little push. been trying to teach my daughter to ride a bike for years. She hasn't quite gotten it, you know. We got her a new bike for Christmas with training wheels, a bigger one that would support her. And still, to this day, it's like she doesn't want me to let go at all, you know. And the whole idea of helping somebody ride a bike is you give them a little nudge and then they keep going. And the training wheels are great because it keeps them steady. It helps them to learn. But they need a little push. So let tonight be a little push to let you get some momentum so you don't wobble this way or that or waffle around wondering what it is I should do. Discover that dream. Let that dream discover you. Then work it. Work it. Start somewhere. Former President Woodrow Wilson once said, we grow by dreams. All big individuals are dreamers. They see things in the soft haze of a spring day or in the red fire on a long winter's night. Some of us let those great dreams die, but others nourish and protect them. They nourish them through bad days until they bring them to the sunshine and light, which comes always to those who sincerely hope that their dreams come true. Like President Wilson said, some dreamers let their dreams die, but others breathe life into their dreams. So let's make our dreams come true. How do we do it? I want to give you a few practical things. First of all, mark it down. We see this in the Bible in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And then God answered, write this, write what you see, write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message, this dream is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. Write down your dream. Write down what you want to accomplish before your life is through. Write it down and put it somewhere you'll see every day. Put it on your mirror, your fridge, your closet. Write it down. Write down your life's purpose. Write down some of the things. I mean, this is the reason people have bucket lists. What do I want to do before I die, before I kick the bucket? And they write these things down, and then you check them off. Or if you're me, you scratch them out, you know, your little list. Mark it down. Two, meditate. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So we know about this, about meditation. Meditate means to mull over and over in your mind, to think on it over and over and over. Take time every day to think about your dream. Think about how you're going to get there, how you're going to accomplish it. And then, for alliteration's sake, this one starts with an M as well. Move. Everybody say move. Move. Psalm 37:23, the Amplified says, the steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way, and he busies himself with his every step. So take steps in the direction of your dream. A friend of mine who I graduated, I'm not going to name drop a little bit here, who I graduated from college with, pastors the fastest growing church in the U.S., Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, Stephen Furtick. He said this: the difference between a daydream and a vision is the audacity to act. The difference between a daydream, oh, la la land, and a vision, God inspired, is the audacity to act. Now, I did this devotional reading. I like to find these devotionals, these plans, on the YouVersion Bible app. Been doing it for some time now. I just started with, you know, reading through the Bible in a year, and they have a great plan for that. But then now I'm kind of reading through the New Testament. It's going to take like 180 days. Almost done with it. I'm in 2 Timothy now. And in addition to that, because it's short, it's a couple of chapters a day, and I had been used to reading 5 or 6 or 7 when I did the Bible in a year kind of thing. And so in addition to that, I do these kind of devotional plans and have some good, really good ones on there and some that aren't, you know, aren't so good. But they're great because they have kind of a devotional thought and then one single verse to think about. So I did this devotional reading plan back in October called Chase the Lion. And I want to encourage you guys to, if you have the YouVersion Bible app, look up this plan. It's like a 7-day plan, I think. It's really fascinating. I want to share with you a little bit from it. And it's based on best-selling author Mark Batterson's latest book, Chase the Lion. Some of you may have read his bestseller the circle maker. Anybody ever heard that? Praying circles around your greatest dreams. Here's the Devo from day one, okay? He starts with 2 Samuel 23:20. Listen to this verse. There was also Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing two champions of Moab. Another time, on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed it. So the whole book is based really upon this one obscure verse in the Bible about Benaiah chasing a lion. Now, Scripture doesn't explain what Benaiah was doing or where he was going when he crossed paths with this lion. We don't know the time of day. We don't know his frame of mind. But Scripture does reveal his gut reaction, and it was a gutsy one indeed. I mean, put yourself in Benaiah's snowshoes here. Like, your vision is obscured by falling snow and frozen breath, and out of the corner of your eye you detect movement. Pupils dilate, muscles flex, adrenaline rushes. It's a prowling lion stalking its prey. You. So, in the wild, man versus lion always ends the same way. Man runs, lion chases, king of the beasts eats man witch for lunch. But Benaiah flips the script, and that's what courage does. I don't know if it was the look in his eye or the spear in his hand, but the lion turns tail and Benaiah gives chase. Now, a fully grown lion can run 36 miles per hour and leap 30 feet in a single bound. He doesn't stand a chance, okay? But that doesn't stop him from giving chase. He can't keep pace, obviously, but he tracks paw prints in the freshly fallen snow, finally coming to the place where the ground has given way beneath the lion's 500-pound frame. Yellow eyes glare back from out of the pit, and Benaiah takes a flying leap, disappearing into the darkness. A deafening roar echoes off the walls of the cavernous pit, followed by a blood-curdling battle cry. Then silence. Dead silence. What's happened? Who's won? At last, a human form reaches up and climbs out of the pit. Drops of blood color the snow crimson. Claw marks crisscross Benaiah's spear arm. And against all odds, the valiant warrior from Kabzeel has earned an epic victory. Credits roll. The epic soundtrack plays in the background. And then just like in the Marvel movies, there's always a scene at the end that maybe, you know, would tell you what's coming next. And in this scene, you see Benaiah facing a huge giant of an Egyptian. Because that's what happens next in his story. Craziness. But in every dream journey, there comes a moment when you have to quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. You have to go after a dream that's destined to fail without divine intervention. This is so good. You gotta, as cliche would say, go big or go home. You gotta take the road less traveled or settle for status quo. You gotta bite the bullet or turn back on your dreams. So if you find yourself in a pit with a lion on a snowy day, you got a decision to make. A decision that will determine your destiny. So you can run away from what you're afraid of, but you'll be running for the rest of your life. Or you can face your fears, you can take a flying leap of faith and chase the lion. Chase the lion. This has truly inspired me, because in this chapter in 2 Samuel, what did I say, 23? This is a listing of David's mighty men. Okay, so a few of them, we hear a little byline, if you will. We hear a little bio, a short bio, as we do with Benaiah. You know, he took out, and this is like the introduction before the heavyweight match, you know. Benaiah in this corner, weighing in at a measly 190 pounds, the person who defeated two giants of Moab and chased a lion into a pit on a snowy day and came out with only two crisscross marks on his arm. Here he is, the champion, Benaiah. That's what it reads like. And so 2 Samuel 23 would tell you a list of, you know, David's valiant warriors, his mighty men, 37 of them. And it doesn't go into great detail about all of them. It tells a little clip from, you know, a few people here and there. Highlights mainly three guys. But this story and Benaiah's further actions would lead him to, first of all, becoming David's bodyguard. Because so David has his warriors, and David himself, man, David beat Goliath. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands, something like that. You guys remember that? And that's what got Saul pissed off, and he tries to kill David and goes on the chase there. But even David, you don't see him running from Goliath. And it would make sense that the people that he chose to represent him in battle would be people who wouldn't run from their giant or run in fear from any battle. But it would make sense that they would be people who would run toward the giant, just like he did in battle when he was a young boy. I don't think it was because of Benaiah's superhuman strength. I mean, I don't think he got bit by a radioactive spider or anything like that that allowed him to kill a 500-pound lion. I mean, certainly he was skilled in battle and knew how to use a spear, and all of those things that prepared him for this moment in his life. But it set him up, really, for what was to come in his destiny. You see, he was selected as one of David's bodyguards. And then later on, he was made commander-in-chief of Israel's army, Benaiah. Anybody ever heard of this guy? I'm sure I've read it, but I've never seen his story in this light. The dude chased a lion. He went after it with everything he had. So when your dream dares you and says, no, you're not big enough. Your dream stares you down like a 500-pound lion saying, come after me, big boy. Are you going to tuck tail and run away? Are you going to believe the lie that you can't do it, that you're not smart enough, that you don't have what it takes, that you don't have the time or energy or effort to put into this, that you're going to have to make a huge amount of sacrifice in order to achieve this, and you could just turn tail and say, well, I guess it's not worth it. And guess what? God will choose somebody else. Think about the Wright brothers. Think about that everything that was needed to create human flight has been around in existence for a long time. It wasn't until the year 1903 that the airplane was invented. How many people was that dream implanted three levels down that they never discovered it? Or did they discover it and they walked away? And they said, I'll never do this. It's impossible. It's impossible. What are the things that God's told you to do that you would tout back? Their first response is, that's impossible. Never going to happen. That's going to be too hard. God never said that your dream and accomplishing your dream would be easy. It's going to require work. It's going to require effort. It's going to require, sometimes it's going to require waking up earlier than everybody else wakes up and going to bed later than everybody else goes to bed. It's going to require prayer. It's going to require sacrifice. Years ago, God implanted through the Holy Spirit a dream of a church within a young man named Matthew Judd. A church that Augusta, Georgia, the CSRA so desperately needed. And that young man could have walked away. That young man and his wife had saved up $5,000 to put down a down payment on a home. And instead, they invested it into starting a church. Sacrificing what they thought was for one thing and funneling it into a dream that God had given them. Nobody tells you you're going to have to make that level of sacrifice, and they've made it time and time again. I couldn't tell you from being in the inner circle how many times they've sacrificed. But I can tell you what they would tell you tonight and anytime you'd ask them. It's all been worth it. Has it been easy? No. No. Has any of it been easy? No. Was it a God-sized dream? Yes. Because without that God-sized dream and without them going after that God-sized dream, you and I, we wouldn't be sitting here. We wouldn't be the people that we are today. Lindsay Kennedy wouldn't have been up here with such excitement and passion and zeal. As awesome as Eddie and Carol Kennedy are, she wouldn't be who she is without Good News Church. It's true, isn't it? Now, I'll say the same things I'll get emotional here, but I'll say the same things about my kids. My kids aren't going to be who God intended them to be without the molding and shaping of our children's ministry. Man, what you do is so vital. It's so important. It's a thank you. And I know it's hard. And I know days you may not necessarily feel equipped or adequate. Like, God, why me? Why isn't Kristen still doing this? And Kristen could have said, why isn't Claire still doing this? And sometimes the dream that he's given you is for you to plant and water and build something and then hand it off to somebody else. And then it becomes a dream within a dream. And Claire, the dream that you had years ago, Good News Kids Club, that maybe somebody just handed to you, has now become a dream within a dream within a dream. Three layers down. And your dream may not necessarily be your dream. You may be fulfilling somebody else's dream. And the dream that you pass on to the next person is your legacy. That's your legacy. So, Eddie, we need people who will start things and then pass them off to the next person. And that dream within a dream within a dream within a dream within a dream, all within God's great dream of redemption. We need some dreamers, guys. We need people who will chase the line. I want to end with this manifesto that I found based on this book. I hope it encourages you. Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Run to the roar. Set God-sized goals. Pursue God-given passions. Go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. Stop pointing out problems. Become part of the solution. Stop repeating the past. Start creating the future. Face your fears, fight for your dreams, grab opportunity by the mane and don't let go. Live like today is the first day and last day of your life. Burn sinful bridges, blaze new trails. Live for the applause of nail-scarred hands. Don't let what's wrong with you keep from worshiping what's right with God. Dare to fail. Dare to be different. Quit holding out, quit holding back, quit running away. Chase the lion. Chase the lion. How many of you would say, I want to do that reading plan now? It's a great one, man. If I'm your friends on YouVersion there, I'll see all of you tonight. Al Shorter started a plan. Good for you, man. You may have already started it. I saw you. Matter of fact, I bought the book and I've already read half of it. Just a few days. We need to dream big, guys. We need to dream big. We need to discover the dream that God has for us. We need to we need to use that four-letter word and work. We need to work. We need to work. Because the dream that God has given us is worth it. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the blood, sweat, and tears. It's worth pouring of energy and passion and zeal, everything we have into it. Because that dream that God has given you is something He needs you to fulfill. And you need Him, because without Him, you're dreaming too small. Let me pray for you, and we'll be dismissed a few minutes early here. Won't you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Father, I pray for each person tonight that you've inspired them to live a God-sized dream, to pursue God-given passions. Pray for those who are listening or watching by live stream, that they would discover the dream that the Holy Spirit has implanted within them three levels down. And they'll give birth to a dream that's within a dream. And that dream will carry on beyond them. It'll be a legacy for future generations. Father, may we receive the inspiration from heaven tonight. And may we act with boldness, not letting any naysayers get in our way, the enemy or otherwise. We'll walk it out in authority. We thank you, Father, that we will not have dreams be deferred, but we'll have dreams made reality. Pray this for this church as we step into the next level of our dream, your dream for the city, your dream for the body of Christ. We'll see a whole new generation of dreamers empowered to give life, carrying out your dream for this earth. We thank you, Father, for it. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Dream big.